Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text that we shall consider this morning comes from the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading selected verses. While Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. So far the reading of the text. In Christ Jesus, who fell asleep into death, named as the righteous sinner in your place and mine, only to rise again as the holy living one to give us life, dear fellow redeemed. What was the first lie, the father of lies, Satan, told to the human race? "You will not surely die." And as the Apostle Paul wrote later, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people." And so we could picture Satan clapping his hands in delight and laughing when sin entered our race, because that lie was believed and there were eternal consequences. And so it was in our text when Jesus said, "The girl is not dead, but sleeping," they laughed at him. You see, the human race has come to know the reality of death. Any other suggestion is just too ridiculous to consider. The father of lies has been laughing, so to speak, at the human race ever since that first lie. When Adam and Eve's eyes were filled with tears at the death of their son Abel at the hands of their son Cain, no doubt the devil found great joy. When Job, who had 7 sons and 3 daughters, learned from a messenger who said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house, it collapsed on them, and they are dead." Oh, what demonic glee was surely expressed in the spirit realm on that day, because God allowed this tragedy to occur. Or when Salome brought the platter with the head of the daughter of the prophet of the Most High God, John the Baptizer, before her mother, Herodias, the great deceiver certainly could hardly contain himself. "You will surely not die." No doubt the greatest time of mirth for Satan in this regard was in the hours between Jesus breathing his last upon the cross, and when he descended body and soul into hell to proclaim the victory over death, hell, and Satan. Sin and death had done its worst. God, in the person of the Son, died. But now he lives. And with that act, the lie, "You will surely not die," has been made into a divine promise to all who believe in God's Son as Savior, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the faith of Jairus when he came to Jesus, his living Lord, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." It was not the faith of a loud crowd of mourners in Jairus' house. When Jesus told them to go away, their mourning was not needed. She was not dead, but sleeping. They laughed at such a thought. But the Lord of life, our Lord of life, took the girl by the hand, and we are told by Mark and Luke, he said, "Little girl, arise." And immediately she rose, got up, and walked about. Before the Lord, death is but a sleep. For the body is sleeping and waiting to be awakened. And so it is with you, my fellow believers in Christ. When your body dies, it will fall asleep, awaiting the command of our Lord to arise. And you may have some mourners gathered around your lifeless appearing body, shedding tears before it is tucked away for the last great day of Jesus' return. But your confession of Jesus as the Lord of life will no doubt be spoken by your pastor in his sermon and in the rite of Christian burial. And those who mourn your death will be told to depart with the same confidence with which Jesus spoke in Jairus' house. Now, it's not a sin to shed tears at the death of a Christian, but they should not be shed without hope. Because of the holy life lived in your place by Jesus, producing the holiness you so desperately need to enter heaven, his suffering and death in payment for all your sins, and his resurrection unto life, granting you life everlasting, you will get the last laugh on the day of resurrection. Satan will not trouble you ever again. His lies and his laughter will be heard no longer. Jesus, your Lord of life, holds the keys to the gates of hell, and they will be locked securely forevermore. The mourners gathered around your grave, when your body is about to be buried, will hear something like this: "May God the Father, who has created this body, may God the Son, who by his blood has redeemed this body together with the soul, may God the Holy Spirit, who by baptism has sanctified this body to be his temple, keep these remains unto the day of the resurrection of all flesh." And then, having been safely tucked away in the bed of your grave, on that great getting up morning, when the final trumpet blasts, and with a shout, Jesus declares, "Arise, my children," you will arise, experiencing firsthand how Jesus made that lie of Satan into the eternal truth for us all. You will surely not die. The last laugh is ours, my fellow redeemed, for Jesus' sake. Amen.